Welcome to the Building Church. At the Building Church, we are committed to raising up people of balanced stature for Jesus in all phases of life. Join God's servant, Pastor Jeremiah James, as he brings the word with clarity, grace, and truth.
Celebrate someone to your right and to your left and say, welcome to church. I'm not hearing you. Celebrate someone to your right and to your left and say, welcome to church. I did not say stand somewhere. I say to your right and to your left. Where now? Celebrate someone to your right and to your left. Tell them, welcome to church. Glory to God. Glory to God. We had an amazing time on Sunday where my wife, Pastor Lois James, taught us beautifully to conclude a teaching, our teaching series on divine direction. Were we blessed or blessed? Great. And then today we are having the concluding part of understanding spiritual growth too. It has been a beautiful ride, I believe, right? We have been blessed or blessed. All right, so I have a concluding part. I'm sure we'll be very blessed. All right, please, can you have a seat very beautifully in God's presence? We are going to be a bit fast, so I need the fastest person on the... There's a lot I want to cover today to give us a wrap for the... To give us a wrap on the teaching series we've been having. Our anchor scripture have been 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, MSG. He said, MSG, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, very quickly. 2 Corinthians 13, 14, MSG, Amplify rather. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. He said, the grace, yes, favor, and spiritual. Are we not together? We are seeing it now. Yes, 3 go. The grace, of who and the presence and the communion and sharing together and participation in the world be with you all. Amen. So be it. So we've checked grace dimension. We check love dimension. Today we are going to presence and fellowship. Glory to God. I say presence and fellowship. Glory to God. Please give me this in MSG, this same scripture in MSG. In MSG, very quickly. Please can we read together the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. Yes, the extravagant and what? Okay, do what? What do they call it? Intimate word of the Holy Spirit be with you all. All right, so presence and fellowship. Help us, Holy Spirit. It's a long read, a long ride. So, all right. I have here my notes. Many believers understand the grace of Jesus and the love of the Father, but neglect the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit is not for deep Christians alone. It is a birthright for every child of God. And then while I was reading this, the Holy Spirit actually brought to my memory last week when we were teaching on love as a measure of spiritual growth. I mentioned dread and reverence. And I did not put the scripture, so the Holy Spirit just reminded me. There was a scripture I was supposed to use to explain that dread. In Exodus, very quickly, Exodus chapter 20, give me from verse 18, Exodus 20 from verse 18 to 19, very quickly. Please, can we read this together? When the people saw the word and the lightning and heard the word trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they did what? What did they do? They trembled with fear. That means they were afraid. They trembled with fear. They stay at a distance. Next verse, very quickly. He said, and said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but do not allow God to speak to us, or we will die. Look at what verse 20 said. Moses now admonished them in verse 20. Moses said to them, do not be afraid. That do not be afraid is do not dread. Do not tremble. Because the Bible said they trembled with fear. And what he's saying is, do not tremble. Now, if anytime you see angel appear to people in the Bible, the first thing the angel is to tell them is what? Don't be afraid, because there's a dread that comes with you seeing a supernatural being. Do you know an angel that maybe they were joking with him in Isaiah? God just said, oh, I feel like we should go and kill people. That as soon as that guy land, 100 and something people were dead. One angel. 100 and something people dead already. So one angel, what one angel can do? Ha. So that's why most times when you see them, and now it's Nigerian movie that show you that angels have wings. Actually, from scripture, I've not seen any angel with wings. Now, I'm not saying angels don't fly. Take for instance, the airplane, does he fly or not? Does he have a wing? It doesn't have wings. It's iron that is there, and they call it wings, actually. But it's not as if, because most times now in Nigeria, when they are, well, maybe the way they have portrayed angels, when they want to show you angel, when they want to portray that it's angel that is talking to you, the thing will be doing like this. A human being that does not have that, he will be doing it like this. I am the one, don't be afraid. You know, okay, that hand is wings for what? So to make him more an angel, naturally, angels don't have wings. It's actually from scripture, and that is why you see most times when they see angels, they say, I saw a man. A man came to us. In fact, when God came in the form of angel, when God came in the similitude of angels, or in the form rather, of angels to what is the name of this man? Abraham. He came in the similitude like three men. It was three men he saw, and they were angels. Manoah was his name, Samson's father. When the angel appeared to the he too said, a man came to me. If he was having wings, they would have said his wings. And then if you check Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, he said, I saw a man running with a lion. If his angel, before he now knew that, it was an angel that was running. Are we on the same page? And then angels in Revelation. And what is his name? John the Beloved would have known his angel if they were with wings, because he was worshipping them. And I said, no, don't worship me, oh. I'm a fellow man. I'm a fellow servant like yourself. So what it implies is that it's actually they're mistaking seraphims and cherubims. Seraphims have 6 wings. Cherubims are the one that have 2 wings. That one I used to see like this is cherubims. But it's deep. I don't know which kind of how urgent God will have want to send somebody message that you don't have to send the cherubim. That means that you have been deaf. You know what I'm saying? God have sent every most possible ways. Kai, then I say, is a cherubim that is the next thing you need to send. A seraphim that you need to send with 6 wings. Ha! That thing needs speed. In fact, they need to warn you early. Are we on the same page? Because these ones have 6 wings. The seraphims, can you see the Bible? Seraphims have 6 wings. Cherubims have 2. Angels are like men. But this is not the emphasis, my, where I'm even going. How did I get it? Okay, do not be afraid. Okay. There's a dread. So the angels will keep telling you, do not be afraid. That dread you are feeling is not because a man came to you. The dread is because a supernatural presence just appeared. So there's a dread. So when God appeared in this Exodus chapter 20 verse 18, we saw that the Bible said there was thunder. It was just thunder. I hope you know. How did I know this? If you check 1 Kings 19, when Elijah said, oh, I'm not better than my fathers, and all of those stories he was saying, what God actually sent first, and that's why I've often said it, God is not in the fire. Fire is one of the entrainings of God. So God is not fire. Fire is just like saying that the governor is going somewhere. The people that will be in the entrainage, hope you know that they will not even duplicate a car that look like the governor's one. But hope you know it's 2 cars. The one that is his own and the one that is not his own for security reasons. So as the entrainage, as the thing is going, some of the things that go before God is fire. And God is not in the fire. Another thing that go before God is earthquake. These things are like his envoy of terror. See, God walk with 2 things. He walk with terror and honor. The terror of God. When, if you check Exodus, for example, Exodus 20, is it 23 now? Exodus 23, if I'm not incorrect. I think Exodus 24. Exodus 23, 24, and 25, if I'm not incorrect. The Bible was saying there, no, 27 actually. The Bible was saying there that I sent my terror ahead of you. Please help me look at that Bible. I think it's Exodus. It should be Exodus 24. 23, 27. Exodus. Please give me Exodus. He said, I will send my terror ahead of you. to throw into confusion every nation you encounter. That is not talking about God as a terror. It just means that he has terror, he has things that go ahead of him. So this terror was the one they saw in Exodus 20 that they were afraid. And that is why when I was saying last week, I said when it comes to the love of God and the fear of God, rather, it must come from the standpoint of terror, that is dread. That a role on Bami, not as a wicked God, but as a just God. That when God come in his justice system, you will not want to sin because you are a son. You will not want to commit sin because you know that God is a just God. He doesn't pick sides. So there is a terror of God that tell all on Bami. Because of that alone, you have the fear of God. So that was what happened to these guys. God first sent his terror that, hey, me. I'm the one talking to you guys. So they were afraid. They trembled fear. The next thing in verse 20, go very quickly because of my time.
He said to people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. There is a dread of God. That dread, that thing they saw, whatever. You are afraid. They say, don't talk to us again. That dread can keep you from sinning. But the love that is not coming from dread is reference. That how can I love God and do this? That was what happened to Joseph. There was no dread. There was no law that says you should not sleep with any person. But it was like, how can I sleep with somebody and sin against God? So if for any reason the reverence pay you, the dread should not.
Oh,
that you want to commit sin and you have forgotten that. I love God. I fear the Lord. I have reverence for God. Then there should be the dread that should keep you away from sinning. That even if I do not fear God from reverence point, I should fear him from dread point, that there are some things that go before God. Do we get that? So there is the dread of God. The dread of God is not for you to be afraid of God. The dread is for you to know that there are consequences for sin. So that dread will keep you away from sinning. I pray you will honor God. Both, and you will fear God. Both from his standpoint of dread and his standpoint of reference. In the name of Jesus. Do we get that? So that's the balance I wanted to bring to what we started last week. Glory to God. So let me fly back to our presence. Do we get that, man? Now let's go back to presence. I already started by introduction. I say many believers understand the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, they understand the love of God, but neglect the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Please preach to your neighbor. The Holy Spirit is not a wind. Just like I said that there are terror that go ahead of God. So also, the Holy Spirit is not a window. The Holy Spirit is not dove. Before you go and buy plenty dove and said you are in the midst of the Holy Spirit. No. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. The Holy Spirit is not a fire. The Holy Spirit is not water. The Holy Spirit just come in the similitude of that to explain a fact to you. Are we on the same page? I say, are we on the same page? Please preach to your neighbor again. Say, the Holy Spirit is not wind. The Holy Spirit is not fire. The Holy Spirit is not water. It does come in the similitude of that. Glory to God. Now, let's start from Jesus' story. Matthew chapter 3, very quickly. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Very quickly, I'm going to read 16 and 17. And then I'll fly to Matthew 4, verse 1. Please, can we read this together? He said, as soon as Jesus was what? Baptized, he went up out of the world. And that moment, heaven was what? And he saw the Spirit of God descending what? Please, the Spirit of God was descending how? And is the Spirit of God dove? Is he lightning? So he said he's coming as, just imagine you say somebody is as black as charcoal. Is the person charcoal? But the person is as black as, it's just the characteristics you pick. Are we on the same page? So it means that as the Holy Spirit was descending, because of the descending, I don't know how doves descend, but the descending was visible that they could see him, that he was descending like a dove. And that's when he was descending in Acts of Apostles 2, chapter 2, he did not descend like a dove. He descended like a water because he is not a dove. And like fire, he is not a dove, neither is he fire. Because he said, the Bible said in that Acts of Apostles, it said a wind came. A wind came. He said, and they saw, a wind. I think from verse 2. He said, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind from heaven. All of it is talking about from heaven. From heaven. And filled the whole house where they were seated, look at what now happened. They saw that seemed to be tongues as of fire and separate and sat on all of them. For Jesus, it was something like a dove and lightning. And the Bible said from heaven. So it doesn't matter which kind of dove you use. If it is not from heaven's similitude, you are actually dealing with a demonic spirit. Before you now start saying that my desire is to see a dove, my brother, the essence is who is inside. Are we on the same page? So the Bible said, descending like dove and lightning on him. Next verse, very quickly. He said, and a voice came from heaven saying, this is my son, we in our place. All right, give me 4 verse 1. Now, what that spirit now did to Jesus after that spirit came upon him was this. He said, then Jesus, are we reading together? 2, 3, go. Then Jesus was, where are you not meaning this? Jesus was by the spirit into the desert to be tempted of the devil. Was led, and like my wife was saying, that the things are intertwined, they are joined together. If you check Exodus 13, 18 that we read on Sunday, when we're talking about the children of Israel, that God did not lead them by the other way. He led them rather through the way of the desert, instead of leading them through the way of the Philistine, right? Are we still on the same page? So there is the leading. Somebody say lead. Now, give me Romans chapter 8, very quickly. Romans 8, don't worry, you will get it. Tell yourself, I'm getting it. Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, 14. Okay, Exodus 13, 17, rather. Thank you. Romans 8, 14. Please, can we read this together? Because those who are who? Eh? Can you read this again? Those who are who? So, we have seen here that in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, in 17, he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Immediately, for us to know that he's truly a son, 4 verse 1 of Matthew now tells us that he was led. Since when you give your life, you gave your life to Christ, Sama, what has been leading you? There is the presence and the fellowship of the Spirit as one of the major cardinal indicators of spiritual growth. And one of it is that in your conversation, in the things you are saying, you will not be saying things like, I just decided, I want to. You will hear something like, the Lord told me. I was led by the Spirit to give this. I was led by the Spirit to do that. And let me quickly tell you, I will know that it's a leader that has been leading you and not the Spirit. If that thing is always leading you to go and be collecting. You know, you have never had God in your life until you saw a sister in choir. And that thing, they don't use it again. You now went to meet her. He said, the Lord told me. Hey! The Lord has not told you to join the workforce. He has not told you to partner with the building project. Now, finally, somebody is singing like an angel in the choir and the Lord is holding you. We don't need a todometer to dictate that it is the flesh that is holding you. Because if it's the Lord that is leading you most time, he will lead you away from yourself. How can somebody just that they have just said is the son of God be led into the wilderness? Do you know what the wilderness is? Led into the wilderness. That is because it takes a leading for him to go to the wilderness. Nobody goes to the wilderness by choice and say, I'm happy. Do you know what the wilderness is? When we were taking the teaching on Ed Northwood, we said that that place does not have water. The only things that survive there are camels and plants that don't need too much water or that can store water inside their back. Those are the things that survive in the desert. And now somebody is being led into the desert by the Spirit. It's a feedback that has been led. I have seen several people weeping and being led. They are led like a sheep to the slaughterer. That is how you will see the leading of God. One of the things that will be an indication to you that you have been growing spiritually is the thing he is leading you away from and the things he is leading you towards. Because naturally, our body is designed to be selfish. That is the truth. You want your way, you want your this, you want your that. But the Bible said, he was led by the Spirit. And the Bible said, as many that are led by the Spirit, is not as many that the Spirit told you. Wait, hope you know it's not the same. There is the telling of you, and there is the doing. There is the action. It is led, is a past tense. That is, you are already on the go. As many that are led by the Spirit, if not as many that are informed by the Spirit, as many that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. So your true proof of sonship can be traced to your leading. When last did God lead you to give something sacrificial that touched you? Or things you are giving on the surface? How many people are the sons of God? According to Romans, how many people? As many that are led. Say, I am led. I am spirit led. And then verse 16 of it. Verse 16 of the same Romans. Look at what the Bible now says. He said, the Spirit himself testify with our spirit that we are God's children. And that is why when people say that they are not sure if they are saved, I don't understand what you are saying. If they ask you a question, for example, that how do you know you are saved? This is the answer. The Spirit himself will testify. The Spirit will bear you witness. But we are saying you are the son of God. Something inside of you is telling you. You are son of God. There is no peace. One of the ways I know I'm going to heaven is because I have a witness in my spirit that I'm a child of God. One of the reasons why I don't fear devils, I don't fear witches, I don't fear any of them, is that there's a witness in my spirit. I don't dare the things I'm daring because I want to do it. I'm daring because I have a witness in my spirit that I'm of God. One of the proof that you truly are the son of God and you are growing is that there is going to be a witness of the Spirit. And you cannot have a witness of somebody that has not been talking to you. How will you even know his voice? Somebody say growth. Spiritual growth. Say spiritual growth. So in the last day, God is going to raise believers who do not just know about the Spirit, but live conscious of His Spirit. Yeah. But live conscious of His Spirit. I want to give you some foundational biblical truths or facts that have to do with the presence and the fellowship of the Spirit. Then I'll go to the definition of the terms. Are we getting blessed or blessed? All right. God walked, Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, the Bible says, God walked with them in the cool of the garden. I did some teaching some times back in Insight called the cool of the day. That actually is making reference to presence. Somebody say presence. How did God do it? God was walking with them in the cool of the day. And they, now, after the fall of man, he was running away from what he used to run towards. Yes, one of the feedback that you are decline in your growth is that the things that used to be your desires, you begin to run away from it. Like sound that called for you to come deeper before. Now you are no longer interested. It, you used to pant for the presence of God. Now is old passion. Like when they're seizing film, is it Lost or what is the name of that film? Suits or something like that, Blacklist. And then How to Kill a Monkey or something like that. All those movies. You don't understand? Anytime you want to pray, you feel sleepy. Once you hunt the movie, then your sleeping pills remove. And then you begin, your eyes don't become like oil, like kerosene that does not sleep at night. And then you watch the movie till 5. Then try opening your Bible again. That is when you will now discover that you have used the Bible as pillow and woke up around 11. Then try to pray again. You don't feel like it. You continue the movie. Something is wrong with you. Your spiritual antenna is going. Yeah, it happened to man. Something that used to run towards in the cool of the presence is not running away from it. Tonight, there will be restoration for any person in the class of that in the name of Jesus. Exodus 33, verse 14 and 15. Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us away. If your presence does not go with us. Hitri Kuma will always say, don't take the Holy Spirit from me. Don't joke with the presence of the Spirit. Don't joke with His presence. There is the presence of the Spirit. There is the presence of God. The presence of God, like my wife said, is actually in your secret place. And the secret place is actually for dwellers. Yeah, for dwellers. For dwellers. For dwellers. So one of the feedback that you are growing is going to reflect
on the presence you carry. Now wait. I did not say on the presence you fake. Presence can be carried. Just like you wear cologne. You would spray cologne, you spray perfume. And how many of you have ever seen somebody go inside the kitchen? Hope you know the level of smoke you are going to bring out of kitchen. I'm not talking about the kitchen nowadays. Leave that thing you are calling kitchen now. Those who are kitchen, you know, kitchen, too English. I remember kitchen days when there were kitchens. One of the ways you will know the kitchen of a place is that the wall is black. Yes, those were kitchens that we grew up with. Now they even use white eyes for kitchen. Wow. So that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those kitchens, those days. How you will know that somebody have stayed long in the kitchen is perceive his clothes. Hope you know that the person will be a liar. You perceive his clothes and his clothes is still smelling homo. And which kitchen do you go to? But those days, a feedback that you are in the kitchen is going to show in the smoke. Hope you know when ladies cook them, they have cooking clothes. Oh, you don't know. The cold clothes will be smelling. It's wood now. Wood. Wood. It's those that are rich that are even using charcoal. Yes, it's the rich people that are using charcoal. Took charcoal. And then, they are butter. What do you mean that one? That one they do with, people can even understand what I'm saying. Wow. So all that I'm talking about now, I'm saying kitchen. You're just talking to microwave. You are thinking to electric gas. That is not a good example, sir. How many of you have seen where they are burning things? That's what I'm talking about. The longer you stay inside, the hope you know that smoke has an odor. Like, you can know somebody that is coming out of smoke. That's what I'm saying. So when it comes to presence, or let me use something that I was thinking kitchen was going to work, but it not work. Because now everybody's going mad that, I wear my best clothes to the kitchen. You know, stuff like that. That is this kitchen. When it was kitchen, it was still kitchen then. Now, let me go to magnet, actually. Magnet. How many of you know magnet? Magneto. I did not say Margaret. Magnet. What is a magnet? Everybody now looking again. Okay. Magnet actually is, don't allow me to go too much into pieces. But it has, I wanted to say it has an electric, a magnetic field. That is deep. But magnets actually have an ability to attract anything metallic to itself. The longer any metallic substance stay around magnets, that field is rub off on the magnet, on the metallic substance. And for few minutes, the magnetic field that is around the magnet is transferred to that thing, even though it does not have a magnetic ability. Are we on the same page? So all of a sudden, you see the thing begin to pick another ion that it would have done naturally. That is what we call presence. When you enter into a feed called spiritual feed, there is something that is transferred into you that naturally was not part of you. That people are going to see that naturally you just saw an ion that is not a magnet, magneting another ion. You know that something has happened. That means that this thing has been around a magnet for a while. One of the feedback that you have grown spiritually is that you carry a presence that is naturally not making sense. And one of the feedback of that presence you carry, don't forget, I said God has a terror and God has honor. One of the feedback of those things you carry that irrespective of your age, you carry a presence called honor. Anywhere you enter into from the presence, people can easily recognize and perceive correctly the honor that is on you from the presence. That I say every person should go up, you know, is the same, is from the spiritual. The whole this upper list now come up with something. They manipulate people and somebody, have you not seen people, even if you have not seen, have you not watched the Nigerian movies? That a guy goes to a shrine and come back to the boss and say he will not give him the job. And all of a sudden, the boss is not also coming from a spiritual realm. The boss will say, I will not give you. And I say, that guy entered there with a presence that he did not have initially. So when it comes to the presence of God, there are benefits that are attached to the presence of God that you cannot go boss and say, I am a man of the presence. They don't explain it. We see it. If you are a man of the presence, you will carry it.
Have you ever put color and be telling people that, are you not perceiving? Are you not perceiving what I'm hearing? And then you guys say, ah, nothing. My brother, is water you rub. If it is perfume, serious perfume, up you know, up you are also there. I went to a mall one day. I was checking some things, and then I saw one pair, and I'm not exaggerating. That thing is like half of this like this, and they hang it somewhere. But I discovered that the label has been long, and I did not know why until I checked the price. When I checked the price, as at that time, that cologne, that perfume that was seated there, as small as this, like it was 230 something thousand. That one, you just put it on a clothes for 1 month. Even if you wash the clothes, or you know that what that perfume is supposed to be doing is that the more you are washing the clothes, the more it's supposed to be increasing the odor of the perfume. Now, there are some oil. People that are into perfume believe that oil perfume are actually more stronger than the water you spray. Oh, you know some of these water you are spraying, colorized water, and that they just drop some things. Then you spray, piam, 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 piam. And then after you finish spraying, as soon as you leave, there you are. As soon as you leave, where you are, the thing is not smelling to you. It's not as you not smell it. But there are other people, they will spray the perfume here like this, pam, pam, and by the reason of the anointing on the spray, if they shake you, you will be baptized. You know, just check it. They don't even need to argue. If they don't shake you like this, people now say, Omotilu is here. Kilu Shele. He said, that's perfume. I know our mouth, they are selling you. He said, you just want my shape. You. And just imagine you shake your mouth and something is transferred to you. I'm much more of the spirit. So when it comes to presence, one, the feedback that you are growing, a man of the presence, a man of the presence that you are claiming yourself to be, you should show. There will be the honor of God upon you. There will be many things you can't explain. Nobody can say no to you. Oh, let me show you one scripture. Are we getting blessed or not? Genesis 28. Huh? I'd not want to go this direction, but let me go. Genesis 28. Oh no. Genesis 32 verse 28. Give it to me in Living Bible. Genesis 32, 28. Very quickly, very quickly. Huh? This verse is very fast. This is not part of my note. This one is not part of my note. Thank you. He said, the man said, yes, your name will no longer be. Okay, Living Bible. Okay. Can we read this together? He said, it isn't anymore. The man told him, it is Israel. One who has what? Because you shall. That is the secret of the presence. You cannot kneel before God and kneel before men. No. No. But God has of you know that a man that did that thing, this, that all that God had was transferred to him, that he did not die, was Enoch. The Bible says he was walking with God. He was walking with God. If God take big leap, this guy will follow. And you know what? Every other person that actually married in the Bible, if you read that story very well, every other person actually begin to have children when they are 300 years old, 400 years old, or something years old. This guy, who was one of the earliest people that married, is as good as saying that a 10-year-old guy married in this age. Because then they lived 900. Hope you know he was the one that gave birth to Methuselah that lived 969 years. But what the Bible told us about Enoch was that after he gave birth at the age of 65, then he now began to walk with God for 300 years. That was everything to him. For 300 years, the walk was too consistent that he did not need to return back to die. One person that actually escaped death that was almost similar to what Enoch did was Elijah. But Elijah came back in the form of John the Baptist to die. Enoch, the guy was no more because he walked with God and was no more. What it implies that all that made God God was being transferred into him. So just imagine that we said there is the dread of God. There is the honor of God. There is a honor that people give to God when God shows up. There is the dread unbelievers see in God when he shows up. When you are a man of the presence, those characteristics of God are put upon you as a man. That you as a man show up in a place and an unclean spirit is taken out by himself. It's not that cockroach is running your cupboard and you say you carry God, a man of the presence. He's running from the presence. Cockroach. There is the boldness that comes that you're not alone. Jesus told his disciples, "See, all of you are going to leave me and run away." I think John 16, 33, if I'm not incorrect. He said, "Oh, Ethan, all of you," he said, "but I'm not alone." Somebody tell you, say, "I'm not alone." He said, "I am not alone." He said, "My Father is with me." That is how people of the presence talk. "I am not alone." He said, "Behold, the hour cometh. Ye is now come that ye shall be scattered, every man to his house, and ye shall leave me alone." He said, "Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." He's a conscious man. "I am conscious, I'm not alone." Wait, you may say it any how you like, but me, I'm not alone. Are we getting blessed or blessed? So that is number one, is the fact that there is a presence. So Exodus 33, 14 and 15, he said, "If your presence does not go with us, please don't send us." And then in John 14, we saw the Holy Spirit as a teacher and as a guide. In Acts of Apostles, chapter 13, verse 2, the Bible says, as they were ministering to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said. So what it implies is that there is a way you can fellowship, and your fellowship will lead to instruction. Yeah. So if you're a man of fellowship, let me tell you guys, and wait, please look up, don't write too much. A man of fellowship will be a man of instruction. A feedback that you have not been fellowshipping is that you have not been continuously instructed. Yeah. The last time God gave you instruction was 5 years ago. It means that was the last time you actually had a fellowship. Every time there is a fellowship, the fellowship will lead to instruction. And that is why confidently, when people come to ask me questions, say, "The church want to do this," I say, "Give me time. I'll come back." Because I just know I need to pray. I need to show up in the place of fellowship. And sometimes I'm just opening my Bible when God is giving instruction. I say, "Don't take that deal." Some of you are taking deals you are not supposed to take because you are not a person of fellowship. And another feedback is that you will not be able to take any decision of yourself until you have seen counsel. Because the Holy Spirit will not talk to you. So a feedback, let me tell you now, a feedback that you are not growing in fellowship with the Holy Spirit is the last time you ever receive instruction from Him. Because fellowship brings about instruction. Look at that. He said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said what? "Said, separate unto me." Every time there is a spirit speaking, once you minister, once there is fellowship, there is a speaking of God. Praise God. And for everyone whose ears have been deafened, in the name of Jesus, let there be restoration. Seeing eyes, hearing ear, understanding heart, in the name of Jesus. Are we blessed or blessed? Because of my time, just give me Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, and then I'm going to go to definition of times very quickly. Philippians 2. Please, can we read this together? He said, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His, if any fellowship with, so there is the fellowship with the Spirit. There is the fellowship with the Spirit. So definition of time very quickly. The presence of God. Anytime we're talking about the presence of God, we're talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That is His manifested nearness. When you say the presence of God, you are talking about the indwelling. Some people are not writing, they are still looking at me. When you are talking about the presence of God, you are talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That is His manifested nearness. Felt, known, and discerned. His manifested nearness. Felt, known, and discerned. Give me Psalm 16 verse 11 before my time. Psalm 16 verse 11 very quickly. Psalm 16 verse 11. Psalm 16 verse 11. Please, can we read this together? He said, "You have made known to me the path of what?" He said, "You fill me with joy where?" Uh-huh. "With eternal pleasure where?" So look at this. The Bible is telling us here that the presence can be felt. And one of the things that the presence carries is what? Joy. Joy. So, is manifested nearness. You know that somebody is near you. It can be felt. It can be known. And the Bible says the Spirit testifies with us that we are the children of God in Romans chapter 8 verse what? 16. So, and it can be discerned. Glory to God. Now, speaking of fellowship, actually the word fellowship is the word koinonia. It is the word in the Greek, koinonia. What that word actually means is partnership, communion, intimacy, and joint participation. I come again. When you hear the word koinonia, it actually means partnership, communion, intimacy, joint participation. Why presence is talking about nearness? Are we still on the same page? So you will know the difference between fellowship and intimacy now, right? And fellowship and presence now, right? What is presence? Nearness. Nearness. That you can know that something is close. Why fellowship is talking about intimacy? Intimacy. Oh, you know, I can be near and we are not intimate. Yes, so that we are not intimate. So that's why we say presence. And so that you not just go and say, I'm in the presence of God. I'm in the presence of God. I'm in the presence of God. What is the end result? Which instruction has he given you? Because I say joint participation. There is joint participation. That was what happened when the disciples were baptized in the Holy Ghost in Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. And sometimes I did a teaching called The Mechanism of Speaking in Tongues. Give me verse 4 very quickly. Acts of Apostles. He said, and all of them were filled. Were filled with what? With the Holy Spirit. And began to do what? As who enabled them? As the Spirit enabled them. That is participation. So when you talk about fellowship, it's joint participation. It's communion, intimacy. Intimacy. I wrote something here in my note. Okay, let me continue the definition of fellowship actually. It is not just being filled. It is walking, talking, yielding, and building a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It is walking, talking, yielding, and building a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Can we read together what you wrote? It is what? No. It is walking, talking, yielding, and building a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So when you say you have the Holy Spirit, it will show in your partnership. It will show in your partnership. It will show in your yieldedness. It will show in your walk and talk, your behavior, and your resemblance of Him. Hope you know that when people are married for a long time, they begin to look alike. And I wrote something here. I said, what is causing the couples living looking alike is not presence, it's intimacy. And the intimacy in this context is not talking, it's actually intercourse. That's what caused couples to begin to look alike at home. Long intimacy, long courtship. And I said it, long intercourse. And I wrote something here. I said, some of you go to the presence with contraceptive in mind. There is intercourse, but you are taking contraceptive, so you are not being pregnant. One of the feedback that there was through after honeymoon, all the moons and everything, what everybody is waiting for is God's stomach. After 2 years, 3 years, they give them 2 years. Like, okay, maybe they are trying to understand themselves. After 3 years, you will not tell them. Your neighbors will come and meet you and say, we are praying for you. No, we are there now. Our neighbors. Anywhere we are prayer point, and yet we are praying for you. I was like, Ilude, we did not tell you whether or not we are looking for people. They will tell you guys, they will start praying for you. Especially in Nigerian city. You maximum 2 years. Ilude. So, stylishly, people will be saying that, or you, maybe people give birth. You went for their naming. And I say, Hey, look. How about you, yo? Let me help you. That is how angels are doing with the Holy Ghost you received 5 years ago. That they have not, you have not been pregnant enough. Yes. Because they are wondering that, anywhere there is intimacy, there should be conception. What have you conceived since you allowed the Holy Spirit in? And every conception, or most conception, come with craving. And that is why you see, baby mama, baby mama, they don't know what they are missing when they conceive. Don't do it. Baby mama, baby whatever, except if circumstances, which circumstances, if you marry in wed, whatever, you have prayed, you have allowed the Holy Spirit to lead you. But if for any reason you make the mistake of baby mama or whatever, God can still restore you. But if you have not, don't try it. You will not know what it means to be pampered when you are pregnant. Whether you have craving or not, your husband, if his sense is still normal, we appreciate the fact that you are carrying something. Whether there's craving or not. Most times, when my wife did not have all those craving, whatever. But anytime she wants to feel like, yes, I'm still pregnant, she will call me. I say, babe. I say, yes. Then I go say, who pillow here? I say, see pillow close to you now. Carry. Say, no. Who pillow? Then I will put pillow. I say, how is it doing? She not start laughing. That's why I knew that. Because actually, she did not come with any of those cravings. You don't know what it be like to be blessed with somebody that was pregnant and you did not feel it. Some people, they will wake you by 2 a.m. and say, I feel like taking boiled okra that is roasted over chicken. Then the husband, by the Spirit of God, will come up with it. I said, this is it. Then she tasted and said, I said, boiled okra. Not iru. This one has too many iru. The perception of iru irritating. And you know the iru. As imaginary as this is, that is some people's craving. It's not normal. You can't be intimate and it not show in your body. Even your body will change. Your language will change. Even your work will change. Since when you have been having intimacy with the Holy Spirit, what has it produced? When it's not as if you are barren. Intimacy is what it is in the walk, in the talk, in the yieldedness. A pregnant woman, even if she wants to, she can't go and register for the lay. He says the best runner. What are you carrying that is preventing you from running in another direction? An athlete can be forgiven if for any reason she is pregnant and carrying a seed. If she carry last, you will celebrate her. That you even showed up. And nobody showed up pregnant in this place. So once there's an intimacy, you can't hide it. Your neighbors will know. I don't know that you are pregnant, you gave birth, and the neighbors are not know. They will know it's surrogate. Surrogacy. Because your neighbors will know. Your work pattern will change. Some of the things you used to do, you will not do. And you know the irony. The same way there is an honor placed on any pregnant person from the public, is the same way there is an honor in the spirit realm if you truly conceive for the Holy Spirit. If a pregnant woman is standing on a train and she's not seated, every normal society will create a seat for her. If for any reason there is a queue and a pregnant woman shows up, she doesn't queue. It's a response the society gives to pregnant people. What are you pregnant with in the spirit realm? That an honor can be accorded to you. Because you carry something for the Holy Spirit. Are you using contraceptive for your engagement with the Holy Ghost? What has dropped? No, I love Isaiah. It's not when you're pregnant. What have you been able to drop because of your pregnant cravings? Your desire. Somebody say fellowship. Please, how are they speaking in tongue? Enabled by the Spirit of God. Ah, bless or bless. Okay. Signs you are growing in fellowship. Number one, your thoughts become more spirit aligned. Number two, you experience inner peace and clarity. Number three, your decisions carry weight and divine backing.
Your decisions carry weight and divine backing. Number four, you avoid sin, not just from fear, but out of love. And that is why doing the love, whatever, I say, what are you willing to do because of love? And what are you not willing to do because of love? Joseph did not sin because of fear and dread. He did not sin because of love for God. He said, because he said, how can I do this and sin against God, not offend my master? And let me tell you, if your husband or your wife or whoever is saying that they are not going to sin because of you, then that sin does not have a strong resolve. Because if they did not do it because of you, when you die, they will do it. Or if you are not around, or if you fight. But if it's because of God, and that's why he loved me is not enough. If you have the fear of God, even if he doesn't love you again, the fear of God is the one that will govern you. So when you come to church and say, and if he doesn't fear God, say, I like him like that. God, that me, I'm married. My wife is also married. We are not planning to go and marry your husband. So it is you that we are trying to help. Because nothing beats having a man that fear God, or a woman that fear God. He will not sin not because of relationship. He will not sin because of God. That is a stronger result. Everyone on the same page. So then you begin to host his presence continually. I want to give you some charge. Please don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Pray to your neighbor, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. I see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, that means the Holy Spirit can be grieved. The next is, don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. The Spirit can be quenched. That is, I see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. The next is, don't ignore conviction. It dulls your spiritual senses. When the Holy Spirit has given you conviction over a matter, and you are still trying to do that over it, what it does is that it dulls your spiritual senses. And that is why I say, don't get used to unanswered prayers. It keeps something inside you. Don't get used to unanswered prayers. Ask question, why? Lord, why? I prayed, you gave me conviction about it. Because if your conviction goes, your spiritual senses will also follow. What it implies that it doesn't flow. Your spiritual senses become more dull. What it implies that since you picked before that you know it was God, and you go and do it quickly, if you begin to pick it now, because you pick it the other day, it did not work. If you pick it now, hope you know you'll not be encouraged to do it. If you don't ask questions. Father, we pray now over this person. You say you will not die. Why is it that? Because the devil is doing something to your conviction. What conviction does, when your conviction is going, what that thing does that is it makes your spiritual senses so dull that you remember the previous things. And I've often said it. I said, God actually leverages on our imagination. Why the devil leverage on memories? Yes, the difference is that memory actually replace the past. Imagination replace the future. So what God is going to be doing for you is that he's going to see possibility. And that is why the first step of your faith is actually from hope. Hope is futuristic. And that is why you see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, when the Bible was talking about faith, it also fully include hope. But except that he now added now to the hope. Hope is futuristic. Take for instance, man. How many of us believe that Jesus will come back? That is hope. You don't know when. Because it's going to be in the future. But when it comes to faith, the first thing that will happen to any man, if you have faith, is that you will start from the level of hope. That means that I know that my Redeemer liveth. And at the end, that's the first approach. Then the next thing is when your faith now begins to take shape for now. And that's why the Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. In fact, if you read in Amplifier or MSG, I don't know. It says faith perceiving as reality what is not read to the senses. Are we on the same page? So that is what the Bible says in Hebrew. I don't know what they are doing in Genesis, but they are pardoned. Glory to God. So the next thing is that don't use the Spirit, yield to Him. Don't use the Spirit, yield to Him. Now I'm back to where we started from. When I started this series, I said that at the end of the series,
you will know if you are growing spiritually or not. I have 9 indicators here that we are going to retrace back to all the 3 cardinal major, whatever. It's just like saying primary colors. How many of us know colors here? I think ladies should, right? Ladies now, if you don't know, come. Mr. James, there's it. He's a painter. He paints, so you do all this mural or something like that. Where is Mr. James? Mr. James is a married man. And please, what are the primary colors? Very quickly. Red, blue. Be writing it down, sisters. You need it, though. Red, red, blue, yellow, white, and black. They are the primary color. That is what Mr. James said, though. I'm not the one that said it, though. Have you seen him? This is the man that said it, but I believe him because it's bearing James. Okay, you don't get that. Forget it. All right, so we have secondary colors. How do we get secondary color? By missing 2 primary colors. Perfect. So what we are, please, thank you, we can go, sir. What we are doing now is that there is the primary indicators of spiritual growth. Now, when we miss all of these things together, that is where we are going to. So it's just like saying we have 3 major cardinal, because cardinal is major and major is cardinal. So us putting the 2 together is for emphasis sake. Are we on the same page? So what are the 3 major cardinal indicators of spiritual growth? Again, number 1, love. Number 2, grace. Number 3, presence. And now all these other 9 I want to measure now. I want to mention now. You can trace it back to those 3 we mentioned. Are we on the same page? All right. Are we ready to go? The first indicator of spiritual growth is genuine love. What did I call it? Genuine love. This genuine love is number 1, love for God. Number 2, love for men. And then number 3, love for yourself. Do you know why love for yourself is essential? You see, that is why when the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself, it's very dangerous. Yes, it's very dangerous. Because if you do not love yourself, how do you want to love your neighbor? Like yourself now. If you don't know how to love yourself, I'm telling you, you will find it difficult to love your neighbor. Some of the issues you are having with your neighbor is because you don't know yourself and you don't love yourself. So you are loving your neighbor the way you have loved yourself. Take for instance, have you ever quarreled with somebody before over something you did that you thought was correct? And the person say, why did you do that? Right now, I'm angry. For me, I thought that. You say, you thought, I'm more angry because you don't even deny it. You are saying you love, because I say you love yourself. So when the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself, it means that you need to first understand what love is for you to even be able to love yourself before you now pass it to your neighbor. Because some people that have been collecting boxing at home in the name of marriage is that the man that is often know that there are ladies that say, how will I know you love me if you not slap me? Should we tell him? I think we should tell her. Yes, in a little like that, he not slap me. That is a toxic love. A feedback. No, and I wish I'm saying that I'm joking. And I hope you know if I'm joking, I will have said it. There are some people, that is how they define love. In fact, their long language is love. Something has been damaged. So you will not understand love for your neighbor if you don't understand love for yourself. Do you know why? Because you will not even understand that when you forgive others, you are not doing it for them. You are doing it for you. Because hope you know, you will not have peace of mind. If your neighbor that you want, that did you bad, if you want him to suffer, and then all of his own inside buying car, you say have a BP. Because hope you know, people you do not forgive, one thing that you are seeing as karma or punishment to them is that they begin to experience retrogression, especially if it's relationship based. When somebody did not marry you, you are going to say, that guy, you do not know what he means, he's going to suffer. He's telling you that you do not know your love for yourself. Because if you know love for yourself, you will know that you will want what you want for your neighbor to want it for you. If we exchange all the things you want for people, as you are sitting here now, if we exchange it for you, will you say amen? Selah. So you need to understand genuine love. Genuine love for God. We already treated love for God, so I don't want to dwell too much on that again. Do we get that now? And then genuine love for God is actually embedded in three categories. Your spirit. Your spirit actually is talking about you giving your life to Christ. Number two is that your soul. Your soul is actually making reference to. We're going to read this one very quickly. Let's read this one because my time is fast spent. But I have nine things to talk about. Don't worry. I will say it in no time. Matthew chapter 4. You're going to give me this in MSG. This is from your soul, actually. Matthew chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. MSG. Very quickly. Wherever is there should be fast. MSG and Living Bible. We need it. While they are looking at that, you can follow me through. I have it already. He said, you are cheating on God. Who is cheating on God? You are cheating on God. All you want is your own way. Flirting with the world every chance you get. You end up enemies of God and his way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb have it that he is a fiercely jealous lover.
You have promised me. You say you will never fail. You have promised to the end.
So now he's also your jealous lover. You can add it. And I promise you are my jealous lover. The Bible says when you choose the things of the world, especially as far as your emotion is concerned, that you are lecting. That you are cheating on God. You are a cheat. Not me. Every time you choose the ways of the world, the Bible says you are lecting. That you are a cheat. I'm not the one that says it. You know the Bible. And then the Bible says you end up enemies of God. The soul actually have five compartments, but I won't say it. You can go and read it. Now, give me Living Bible. He said you are like an unfaithful wife. Who love our husband's enemies? Don't you realize that making friends with God's enemy, the evil pleasures of this world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, that if your aim is to enjoy the evil pleasure of the unsaved world, you cannot also become a friend of God. Or what do you think the scripture means when it says that the Holy Spirit whom God has placed within us watches over us with tender jealousy? The Holy Spirit is calling, come and check Proverbs 2. Then you are going to go and check how to kill a lion, how to kill a monkey. Then at that place, the Holy Spirit is grieved, is pained. Because genuine love is going to lay demand on your spirit. It's going to lay demand on your soul. It's going to lay demand on your strength. It's going to lay demand on your mind. Five components of the human soul. Number one, the will. Number two, emotion. Number three, feelings. Number four, imagination. Then, intellect. Let me come again. Number one, the human will. Number two, feelings and emotion. Number three, intellect. Number four, imagination. Number five, memory. Those are the components of the human soul. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is jealous. Then 1 John 2:15-17. You can read that on MSG. I'll just read it here very quickly. He said, don't love the world's way. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeeze out love for God or for the Father. 1 John 2:15-17, MSG. He said, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. That is deep. Love for the world squeezes out. That is tamper with the love you have for the Father. Ha! That is dangerous. He said, practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. He said, the world and its wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Genuine love. Somebody say genuine love. Glory to God. The number two indicator here is your interest, desire, and longing. Interest, desire, and longing. And like I wrote something here,
I say once intimacy is battered, it will affect your craving like a pregnant woman. So your desires will change. The things that interest you will change. It's a feedback that truly you've grown. It's a feedback truly you are growing. It's a feedback truly you have given your life to Christ. Still on the same page? Yieldedness. You fight and kill yourself. Self. 1 Corinthians 9:27. See, I beat my body and I make it my slave. After I've done everything to save others. Then number three on your indicator is poorness of spirit. Please write that down and look up. I said something here. I say yieldedness to the leading of the spirit. And then I now wrote again. I say it is only dead men that can carry God. Poorness of spirit. I did not say poverty. I say poorness of spirit. Where there is a teaching in that direction that has to do with poorness of spirit. I said you cannot serve God if you are not poor in the spirit. Yeah. That is, you don't have a desire of your own. That is poverty. You are dependent on God. Absolutely. In the spirit. You don't make decisions. You wait on Him. Poorness of spirit. Poorness of spirit. That everybody's like, common sense, common sense. And you know that there's no common sense. It's a spirit sense you have. Can somebody that is poor go and buy Lamborghini? For what? But if, for any reason, a rich man comes up and say, follow me, I will change your story today. And point to a Lamborghini and say, which color do you want? That is when you will know that the guy had the color. And yet he did not buy by himself. That is what poorness of spirit is suggesting. That if the father, the one you depend on, has not pointed to anything, you don't have anything to point to. Yeah. Poorness of spirit. Then the next one, four. This one is my, the next one, I've said it in person the last time, is actually language. Your language. Your spiritual maturity is not only reflected in your ability to pray, fast, or attend services, but also in the transformation of your speech. What you say, how you say it, and when you say it are direct mirrors of your spiritual development. Language. What you say, how you say it, and when you say it are direct mirrors of your spiritual development. I need you to outline the following things. Number one, your words reveal your heart. I did not mean it. Where did it come from? Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaketh. As seen in Matthew 12:34. So spiritual maturity shows in self-regulated, spirit-led communication. Self-regulated, spirit-led communication. So that you want to say, that's a word I said. Don't worry. Because there's someone that controls your speech. The next one is the control of your tongue. The control of your tongue is a sign of spiritual discipline. Yeah. As seen in James 3:2. He says, he who does not stumble in word is a perfect. That perfect does not mean perfect. He's just saying he's a mature man. He's a mature man. So the mature believer doesn't say everything they feel. They speak with the wisdom. They speak with wisdom and restraint. Yeah, with wisdom and restraint. Then they speak unto edification over emotion. They didn't just speak emotionally. I've seen Ephesians 4 verse 29. He said, only what is good for the building up of others. Only what is good. So there's something in this in my note that says, a spiritually mature person doesn't gossip, slander, curse, or complain, but chooses words that strengthen others. Emotion may push you to react. Maturity teaches you to respond in love. Yeah. Want to react. But maturity. Hope you know that most times when people want to deal with you, they want to do everything and they're just looking. At the end, there used to be the beauty one. Because what they are trying to push, they don't work. Everyone is same page. Then speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. I need you to take note of this one. That is number four, actually, under your speech. I wrote something here. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love, we grow. Now, I said truth without law is brutality. Love without truth is hypocrisy. Yeah, I'll say it again. Truth without love, that is, you are saying the truth and you are not saying it in love, is brutality. Then you now say you love somebody and you are not also saying, telling them the truth, is hypocrisy. And that is why everything you are saying must be said out of what? Out of love. Then gracious and seasoned speech. Gracious and seasoned speech is the last thing I will need to talk there. The next thing is actually your preference, your sacrifices, and your altars. Your preference, your sacrifices, and your altars. What you choose, even when, number one, so I need to consider the following. What you choose, even when you have options. Your preference is actually what you choose, even when you have options. That is, I prefer this. But you have the high option. If you are in service prep, when my wife was teaching on positioning yourself for divine direction, she talked about how she spent months before she could accept that I was her husband, right? For those that don't know, that means that the 6 months yielded result. That's why we're married, Abby. Are we on the same page? So now, preference actually, that is coming from your maturity, is that a feedback of growing spiritually is that there is something you prefer when the Holy Spirit is asking you to choose another thing. Are we on the same page? It will show that you have grown, that spiritually you are growing. Me, I'm a kinyaka. Me, I can't do anything. Me, I know. It doesn't exist. Once you have been offered to a deity, the life you live is not your own. Yeah. Have you ever seen a sacrifice? I just woke up there. See, be like, I'm missing. You see that you are laughing. That's what some of you are doing. You are singing a song. I'll be offered to a deity. And then the deity is wondering, the last time you are the sacrifice, I put you here that I want to kill you on the altar. Then you now say, leave me at the altar with my burger. You still have a burger on the altar as a sacrifice. No, it doesn't exist. So if truly you are a sacrifice, there are some songs you should not sing. Because you are confusing the rules of heaven. Then you lift up only and you are even crying. And the camera pick you. And then all of a sudden, God was throwing through our Instagram page. I'm like, Michael, where we going again? We will not succumb to you. I may offer to this anxiety. The last time we tried to correct this guy, did he obey us? Yeah, even me and Toko. This guy is an actor. I don't know why he's not in Hollywood. Because if you have been offered to a dating, your life is not yours. My life is yours, forever. That means that your life is not yours. Lead me on and on. Run after you. Anywhere you go, I go. Anything I have is not mine. Have you ever seen a sacrifice? The key is not here. I know. You want to buy me? You want to buy me? 2 years more. 2 more years. The key sacrifices, you don't have a choice. So, your preferences change. Your sacrifice.
Glory to God. Let me email to John. Yeah, remove this one. Here is the other. No, the water thing. This one is downward. I don't know what happened to the.
Okay, thank you. No worry. Let me just come. This one. So I don't need to set.
Yeah.
Well, move to. Let me with that mic. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God.
Huh?
Praise God.
give up for God. That is sacrifice. Yeah, that is sacrifice. So sacrifice is voluntary surrender of something precious or something eternal. Now, altars, these are spiritual systems you build and sustain. An altar is a place of transaction, consecration, and encounter between you and God. You can want to listen to that message again. But I highlighted four kind of altars that every believer should have. Number one, altar of prayer. Altar of prayer. This is consistent fellowship. You cannot say that you are growing spiritually and you don't have an altar of prayer. The altar of prayer is measured on the strength of two things. Number one, time of prayer. Time of prayer is because you will know when you have not prayed. Take, for instance, the reason why you have a timetable in your schools is because you know the lecturer is supposed to come. So, time of prayer is also telling you that you are supposed to know when you are supposed to pray. We saw it in Acts of Apostles chapter 3, from verse 1. You are going to the temple at the hour of prayer. The hour of prayer for them was 3 p.m. And then Acts of Apostles 16:16 says that when we were going to the place of prayer, so the disciples were being strengthened, they had altars of prayer. Jesus also had the altar of prayer. In Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 35, the Bible says while he was still there, Jesus went up to a solitary place where he prayed. Where is he prayed? Then Luke 20, I don't know which verse, now, but Luke 20 maybe verses, or Luke 18, I think. 27 and 20. The Bible was telling us that, that Jesus will go to pray in the night, and then in the morning he will come and show himself to the disciples. So, number one, altar of prayer. Number two, altar of consecration. And my wife said it that where you key your will is actually, where? Dear prayer. So, where your will dies. Consecration, the altar of consecration is where your will dies. Then the altar of worship, this brokenness and division and devotion. Then the altar of service, where you serve with or without recognition. They asked you to go and join sanctuary. You say, no, I'm good with choir. And then we did audition. They gave you mic. You are singing like a frog that they want to. And yet, it is your desire that is foiling where you want to serve. If the choirs are not being seen, will you see choose choir? Prayer team. Every person should be willing to join the prayer team. It's not as if it's superior. But most times, you won't even see them. When they pray, how they pray, how they fast. So, when it comes to service, altar of service, are you just serving to be recognized? Or you are serving for your master? Glory to God. And then discernment. Spiritual growth is not, number six is discernment. Spiritual growth is not just measured by how often we pray, fast, or attend church. It is often more clearly revealed by our level of discernment. Discernment is the ability to perceive, recognize, and distinguish between what is of God, and what is not of God. Praise God. Then, let me run through. Forgiveness is a feedback. A true test of spiritual maturity is actually forgiveness. Yeah, forgiveness. Forgiveness. And let me quickly state that forgiveness is not a suggestion. It's a command. Your capacity to forgive reveals the depth of your grace experience. Yeah. And then unforgiveness taunts your spiritual growth. If you forget anything, don't forget that. Unforgiveness taunts your spiritual growth. And then number eight, consecration and relinquishing your rights. Relinquishing your rights. Relinquishing your rights. It's my right, it's my right. It's my right, it's my right. Sign you are growing is that you relinquish your rights. The first right you have to release is the right to be right. Yeah. It's a sign of spiritual maturity and growth. You don't defend yourself. Then the right to be offended, you have to let it go. Growth means absorbing hurt without bitterness. Somebody is offending you, you are not bitter towards them. Then the right to your time and comfort. You don't have time and comfort again in court. Especially when you have to do with the demand of the kingdom. And then the right to revenge. You can't revenge. The right to self-govern yourself doesn't exist. And then number next, what is next number? The last one here is actually obedience. Obedience. Obedience is a key feedback that you are growing spiritually. So obedience is one of the clearest indicators of genuine spiritual growth. It is not measured by spiritual gifts, church attendance, or emotion, but by a heart that consistently aligns with God's will. Maturity in the faith shows in how quickly, consistently, and joyfully we respond to God's instruction. I will end on that note again. I'll read it again. Maturity in faith shows in how quickly, consistently, and joyfully we respond to God's instruction. And that brings us to the end of understanding spiritual growth. Has it been a good ride? So I want to give you opportunity to reflect on all these points I've shared in just 1 minute. Time is fast spent. Just reflect very quickly where you need help. I need you to pray in those areas in that direction. Either you are praying for yourself. See, in terms of genuine love, do you have it? Genuine love. Do you even know what it means to love yourself? Now we talk of to love another man. Is that you are praying? This is where you are praying here. These are indicators of spiritual growth. Is it in your speech, your language, the things you say, your desire, your longing? Yeah? Is it your preference, sacrifices, and altars? Is it with your discernment? Forgiveness? I need to pray. Consecration, relinquishing your rights, and then obedience. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. So sorry we had to shoot a bit above time. But was it worth it? Father, we thank you. Because these teachings will help us grow. In the name of Jesus. To transform our lives. In the name of Jesus. Everyone that have experienced a decline in their spiritual growth, I say, let your hair grow again. That vision will be restored again. In the name of Jesus. That person struggling with sin, let that grace that teaches to say no, let it rest upon you. That person that does not even understand love at all, let God visit you. Let the love that already been shared abroad in your heart, let it begin to find expression. You are blessed. You are lifted. Jesus mighty.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you've been blessed. This is the Building Church. Our core values are spiritual growth, service and impact, personal development, honor, excellence, love work, faith, family life, and societal transformation. And our pillars are the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, and reaching out. Join us for our Sunday Glorious Service at 8 a.m. and our midweek service every Wednesday by 5:30 p.m. at the Building Church behind Beckadim's Tanke Okiodo, Ilorin, Kwara State. Please follow us on all social media platforms at the Building Church. Stay blessed.